Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Yes, indeed, and since the market's up, you'll all have extra dividends to share. It's a wonderful, wonderful day in America for everybody in the neighborhood, I guess. And congratulations to Dennis Kucinich. Dennis, you the man. And I think most of you know exactly what I'm talking about Dennis Kucinich today. Dennis's impeachment resolution, mentioning that Mr. Junior Georgie Bush is being charged, he would like to charge him with war crimes. It was read into the official record anyway, and the House voted to refer it to the Judiciary Committee, and they will begin hearings. And although John and Candy Conyers has said there will be no action taken except for some hearings, here's the big thing about this. Here's the really, the hearings will be televised. Yes, they'll be televised. You remember back when Watergate was on? Well, these hearings will be televised, and finally, maybe enough people will hear about the crimes and incompetence of this administration that the public, at least, even if they so choose not to do a damn thing about it, at least they'll be informed better than they are now about the Bush administration. And we can thank Dennis Kucinich for that. There will be no impeachment, at least these hearings will be on TV. And I suspect even some Republicans will finally know the truth and know that all the days they've been listening to Mr. Limbaugh and Mr. Hannity and Mr. Mark Laura Ingram and all the right-wing, they will finally know that those people have been lying to them. They will finally hear some truth at these hearings. Now, of course, the weak-kneed Democrats wouldn't have enough guts to go ahead with any of the charges and all, but at least they'll be out there in the public. So get ready. Today, best news I've heard in a long time. Nothing will come of it officially, but at least unofficially, when this man leaves office, at least me will know what he is of. And we will talk more about that today. We'll talk a lot about that today. And I see they actually overrode Junior Bush's veto of the Medicare program. Congratulations. Once again, the Democrats showed a little bit of spine and stuck together on this. Pretty good. Pretty good, I would say. And another big news article today. Did you see where this guy in Liechtenstein, one of the banker guys there, has loaded a bunch of information on CDs about American, notable Americans, it says, and Germans and Brits who have had illegal bank accounts in the banks over there, and he's blowing their cover, and he sent it to the IRS. Some of our billionaire, notable billionaires in this country, they say names are on this thing, and he's sending their secret bank account numbers to the IRS. And now their cover's going to be blown on this. One of the people named in it was Brit, banking executive. Guess who was also connected to UBS Bank? Graham. Ah. Would it do my heart good to see Phil Graham think so? Let me just tell it like it is. Yes, it would do me good to see his name was. 866-546-5254 if you'd like to join the program today. I don't often start off a program this way, but I'm... Some hate mail I got yesterday, and yesterday, all of a sudden, I got from folks on iTunes, and I don't understand that. I know our problem is, I know our show is on iTunes, but I'd like to go over this hate mail with you, and then I'll read the rest of the hate mail after I get done with this first one. But this first one, as I wrote back to the guy, is a beaut. It really is. And stick with me on this. It starts out, it says, Guy James, I just started listening to your show on iTunes. I find it humorous that you lament being grounded in reality on your website when you have nothing but stale conspiracy theories about the Bush administration to broadcast. How much money do you and you fellow, it says you, I'm just reading it verbatim, you and you fellow liberal talk show host make? Now, let me interject here. How is that germane to what we say and do on this program? Money have something to do with truth? Now, obviously, it does have something to do with the truth, because the highest paid talk show host is the biggest liar and the biggest pervert of them all. So, therefore, in the right wing, money goes with the best propaganda. So he asked me, and you fellow liberal talk show host make, which, in my opinion, is not germane to truth whatsoever. So let me go on and let me quote today. I'm talking with my hands. I don't know why. All by my studio. He says, how many listeners do you have? Well, you know, Lewis, and this is from Lewis, that's a trade secret, all right? What sponsors do you have, Mr. Guy James, Mr. Conspiracy Know-It-All James? You are a loser. I'm sorry I came to your show with an open mind, ready for a serious conversation. Let me interject once again. There was no real conversation, because although having the phone number to this program, I don't recall this gentleman calling here to challenge anything I said. Okay, let me go on here in quoting here. And this has quickly precipitated into pure comedy. Well, Lewis, I'm glad you found it funny. I could sense the excitement in your voice when you finally got a call. This is the part I don't understand, this letter. When you finally got a call, and the subsequent disappointment when it is the guest you solicited. First of all, I did not solicit the congresswoman to be on the program yesterday. You see, they called me. They always do. And secondly, I don't know where you would have picked. Was disappointed that the congresswoman was calling, because I knew she was going. And let me go on with the letter. In response, caller, I thought liberals didn't believe that increasing oil supplies would lower gas prices. Why do you support releasing oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve when you also say that we can't drill our way out of it? Well, you see, Lewis, have dumped, and that's what we're talking about here, dumping oil onto the market, thus providing a momentary glut, driving the problem, the price down a bit, okay? The drilling, you see, is by no means dumping any oil on the market, because it's years and years away, okay? Can you understand that, Lewis? Can you understand that? It goes on to say, be quite an expert on oil here, evidently. It says, indeed, oil companies have leases already, but if they aren't drilling, that means there is no oil to be found. Oh, really? To heck, you say, as they used to say down on the farm. If they're not drilling, that means there's no oil? And it goes on to say, if the oil companies lease land, explore, and don't find oil, they lose, L-O-O-S-E, all of the money that they spent. Well, that part is true. If they lease land and they don't find oil on it, they do lose money. But you see, Lewis, the way it works is these leases, few bucks an acre for like a 10-year lease, and they don't go around the country just grabbing a map and throwing dart here. They have a pretty good idea, geologists that work for these companies, that supposedly with the high-tech stuff, that they idea, because of past history and the technology, that there's a certain amount of oil under the land that they lease. You see, they start with that premise. And Lewis goes on to say, furthermore, oil companies have no way of knowing if the land they lease has oil or not. Well, that is a fact that they don't know 100%, but believe me, Lewis, they don't go out and lease land, and I have experience with this. They don't go out and lease land unless they've got a damn good idea that there is some oil there. That's the way it is in the oil business. He goes on to say, you speak of the damage that oil exploration can do to the environment. Have you ever been to an oil field? Well, as a matter of fact, Lewis, I have. I have been to oil fields in around San Diego. I have been to oil fields in Texas. I've been to oil fields in Oklahoma. I've been to oil fields in Ohio. I've been to oil fields in Pennsylvania, Illinois, and Indiana. And I don't know if there are any more I've missed. Yes, there are some in Louisiana, but there and other states that I've missed. But I have been to oil fields in all of those states. Believe me, I have. I have the pictures to prove it. So, Lewis being the expert that he is, the technology advanced now that an oil company can go in, drill, while leaving absolutely, and I'm quoting this, absolutely no footprint. Well, that indeed, I think. That is really odd. In front of me, a chart. The oil company folks. The NRDC, and this chart here from the NRDC is an environmentalist group. It's about the Arctic Refuge land grab, how a 2,000-acre footprint, which doesn't sound nice, footprint, would bring 1.5 million acres of industrial sprawl in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. And let me tell you how they come up with this 2,000 acres. Do you know that all of the pipeline combined that would go through there, they figured at a quarter of an acre? A quarter of an acre. That's not very doggone big, a quarter of an acre, and they figure all of the pipeline's going to fit on a quarter of an acre. You know why they figure that? Because the only part of the pipeline that they figure is the post sticking in the ground that holds up the pipeline, all right? You've got posts on each side of the pipeline. I don't know, what are they, 6 by 6 inch post steel holding up the pipeline? And so the only footprint that they count is the post sitting on the ground. They don't count the pipeline at all. They have countless roads that are going through and the pipelines that are going through. They don't count that. The absolute truth is this 2,000-acre foot that's going to be in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge turns up, okay? And if you footprint, if you don't think there would be a footprint, tell that to the people, the mountaintops blown up. Tell that have had their land ravaged when the coal company came and they tortured and they timbered and they tortured the land till the land was forsaken. Yes, that's coal. This is oil. Don't tell me any of these people are environmentalists because they're not. Look at the lawsuit now. Still going on, Exxon Valdez. Look at how ExxonMobil trying to squeal out of the judgment that was against them. They tortured the timber and they stripped all the land. Tell that to the people in West Virginia. Tell it to the Love Canal folks. Tell it to the people that enjoyed the coast of Alaska where the Exxon Valdez was. Tell it to those people. No footprint. Goes on to say, Bush is not friends with big oil CEOs. A small oil man who was crushed by big oil. That was resolved 5 years ago. Well, now, I don't know what, if anything, was resolved about Junior Bush's relationship with big oil. I don't know about the actual. But since you mentioned that I ought to have substance behind what I say, I've given you substance on the footprint. Let me give you some substance on whether or not Junior Bush is friends with big oil. Two groups based in Austin, Texas. And by the way, if we're talking Junior Bush, we, don't you think, must include Richard Cheney in on this, since Richard Cheney really runs the government? And, of course, for purposes of discussion, we will include him in on this, okay? He was crushed by big oil. That was resolved 5 years ago. Well, I don't know anything about any resolution about Junior Bush being crushed by big oil that was resolved 5 years ago. I don't know anything about that. That would be 2003, 3 years after he was selected to be the president of the United States. But two groups based in Austin, Texas for Public Justice, that's Texans for Public Justice, the TPJ, and Public Research Work, PRW, crunched the statistics on the wave of on which George Bush sailed into the governor's mansion in Texas. Andrew Wheat of TPJ calls something unheard of Texas or anywhere else. 42 on two campaigns, grandfathered polluters poured $10.2 million into the campaign coffers between 1993 and 1995, what PRW calls the Dirty 30, and Cameco, Enron, and Alcoa aluminum giant. Bush himself received $1.5 million from 55 grandfathered companies led by Enron, with a handsome $348,500 top-up from the man he called Kenny Boy Kenny Lay. Wheat's analysis of the new governor's personal time shows a revolving door for campaign donors and the energy industry. Andrew Barrett, Bush's in-house environmental policy advisor, began daily visits to the TNRCC in preparation for the appointment of new commissioners. Ralph Marquez, lobbyist for the Texas Chemical Council and former executive of the Monsanto chemical firm, and Barry McBee, attorney with the law firm Thompson & Knight, a major contributor to Bush funds with a host of oil industry clients. Legislation ended up being based on the notion of self-regulation, that a law enabling companies to audit their own pollution. And let's not get between Mr. Cheney and Hallep and their permanent ties to the United States, it would seem, bottom of our boat. And let's not forget the Bush with one Prince Bandar. Okay? Let's talk about Prince Bandar. He's right up there at the top. And a walk through downtown Houston takes you past the headquarters of some of Mr. Bush's biggest campaign fund donors, the El Paso Corporation, which gave $750,000 to the Republican campaign, is now under investigation for manipulating the California power market. Mr. Bush has been proven to be very, very good friends with Big Oil. Very, very good friends. Now, as for more substance behind what I say, if that's what you desire, Lewis, and I don't want to spend so much time on one person, but it seems that Lewis represents the views of so many whom are so blind to the facts. Yes, the oil reserves would lower the price of oil a little while. And everybody's saying, let's drill, as though the American public thinks gas is going to drop down to a buck only allowed to drill, and drill. Well, the Department of Energy came out with their projections a little less than a month ago. This is Junior Bush's Department of Energy, okay? A person that sits in his cabinet, okay, ahead of this department, all right? And their conclusion is, if Congress were to open the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge to drilling, crude oil prices would probably drop by an average of 75 cents a barrel. 75 cents. Wow, that's significant, isn't it? 75 cents. The report, and it's another one of those cases, be careful what you ask for. The report was requested in December by Senator Ted Stevens, thief in chief from Alaska, Republican who wanted that bridge to nowhere and is under one of the biggest thieves there ever was in politics. But he requested this, Senator Ted Stevens. By the way, I've been to his office in this building. He's got animal heads posted up, you know, mounted on the wall. Quite a treat he is to all of his compadres. The report was requested by Senator C. that oil production in the refuge is not projected to have a large impact on world oil prices. Not. It's estimated that if Congress agreed to open ANWR this year, Alaskan oil could hit the market in about 10 years. I'm not saying, by any means, that maybe we won't need the oil in Anwar. But a good environmental way of extracting it's going to have to be done. But it is not the magic pill that the Republicans say it is. By no stretch of the imagination is it the magic pill. 75 cents a barrel. Well, and the thing is, this has become a political football, because the thing that high gas prices, people mad at the oil companies, first of all, and then when they got high enough to where it was really, 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 everybody, the politicians have turned it around, the environmentalists, because it's... So that's what it's about. It's a political football. And one other thing I wanted to mention on this subject. You know, did you know 1.6 million barrels of products are being exported from this country? 1.6 million barrels of petroleum product, a lot of diesel fuel included in that, being exported from the United States of America every day. Refined petroleum products. And that amount is up 33% from last year. So it seems we're exporting even more. The more serious that our energy problem has become, the more that we are exporting. This is some more substance behind what I'm saying. We had a caller last week saying, let's drill, 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 of course. He was repeating the Republican Limbaugh drug junkie mantra, let's drill everywhere we can. And then he said, this man who has criticized me for calling for the nationalists has said, we will tell the oil companies that they have to sell it here in the U.S. Yeah, and he called me a socialist. Well, not in so many words, but that's what he meant. That any of the oil companies in the United States will and not export that oil for the highest price. What makes anybody even dream that of the oil company, that ExxonMobil would put the needs and the ahead of any other country? What makes anybody think that ExxonMobil that? Are you kidding me? Does anybody really have a serious thought that if ExxonMobil and Chevron and all the other American oil companies, if the world market said $150 a barrel, that they would sell it for less in the United States? Are you out of your mind? There's people that actually suggest that to me, seriously. That the good and benevolent oil companies that care so much for the good old U.S. of A., that they give the people of this country a break. They haven't given us a break so far. What makes you think they ever would? That's poppycock. But that's just some more of the wild, crazy, wide-eyed views from the right wing. Have I said anything to address the substance behind my thoughts and my comments that I have said so far today to be wrong? Anything? I refer you again, once again, to the Department of Energy. Million barrels a day of refined products in the first 4 months of this year. That represents 9% in this crunch time, not capacity of 17.6 million barrels a day when 5% in the first place. Oh, we need more refineries. Oh my God. Let's build more refineries. You know what? We aren't short on refineries at the moment. If we've got 1.6 million barrels of petroleum products to ship overseas right now, and that's 9% of our capacity, and we're only running at 85% in the first place, what does that tell you? Does that mean it's a refining problem? No, it is not a refining problem. I find it laughable when I see everybody jumping on this bandwagon of drill, 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 and I'm not denying that we may need to use all of the weapons available to us. We may need to do some drilling. We may need, and of course not we may, we must work on alternative energies. We must pour money, more money into the research of wind and maybe nuclear power. I don't know. Plan on the future. And we must do a better, and we must not be pushed into this by the oil companies. So let me continue on with this letter, Lewis. He said, you think you are informing the electorate. The electorate listens to you, except me, apparently, and I probably won't. Again, I'll bet you what? I bet she's listening right now. Said, I don't think you realize how insane and delusional liberals are. Good luck with your miserable, meaningless life. I dare you to read this on the air as an example of how evil and heartless conservatives are. Luckily, nobody cares what you think. Signed, Lewis. Well, Lewis, I didn't read this in order to make an example of how evil and heartless conservatives are. I read this to make an example of how absolutely stupid a lot of liberals are, a lot of conservatives are. That's why I read it. It's taken for granted that evil and heartless are two words that we use and fit are quite appropriate. But the stupidity is what I want. And I think after giving you a basis in fact behind what I said, I don't think I have to say a lot more. I read to Lewis's letter and told him a few things. And he says, thank you for your show for no more than a half hour. I listened too long to hear what I've always been told a liberal talk show can anything you said wrong. Really? That's odd, because I challenged him to prove anything I said was wrong. Proving anything you said was wrong. It's a matter of finding substance behind anything you said, Lewis. I've just given you substance behind everything I said. Everything. He said, indeed, I heard nothing that could be proven wrong, but it can't be proven correct either. Well, I just have given you all the examples you should need to prove it correct. And he also mentioned that what the hell you know about anything. And I wrote back and told him, worked in the oil business, as had my father. I do know quite a little bit about it. And I have worked in the oil fields. And that's back and says, it is called an ad hominem variant. I wrote and told him, I said, oh, and another thing, and you wouldn't be able to lecture me on that subject. And he writes back, it is called an ad hominem variant. By stating that you worked in the oil industry, I'm automatically going to assume that you're an expert in petroleum economics because you have experience in the field. For all I know, you could have been a janitor at an Exxon station in 1983, certainly not qualified to discuss energy problems. If you had substance, you wouldn't need to use such insidious tactics to prove your point. Well, Lewis, as I've just pointed out, it's not an insidious tactic. It's the truth, my friend, and you'll have to digest that in whatever way that you can. He says, and I'll give him this, he said, I guarantee you, if you can shine light on the substance behind your liberal ideas, more people will listen, and the more people will adapt your point of view. I think he means adopt my point of view. Now, here's the killer part of this whole letter. I used to be a liberal, Lewis says. I used to hate Bush and believed that he was worse than Hitler, forming. But then I grew up, began to use my brain, and learned how to analyze facts. Quickly learned the errors of my way. I am because I believe that the United States of America is the greatest nation in the world. Americans can't do if we put our ideas in engine. Lewis, would you please tell me, consigned only to conservatives. Do you not believe liberals feel the same way, that this is the greatest nation on earth and we've done what we can to keep it the best nation on earth, to perhaps get it back to being the greatest nation on earth? Don't try and claim that territory for yourself. Talk about an insidious tactic. That's absurd. And so, back to the letter. He says, being conservative isn't about being religious or stopping progress. It isn't about stopping progress. Conservatives haven't had a new idea for progress in this country since the caveman began clubbing women and grabbing them by the hair and dragging them into their caves. Tell me any progress the Republican conservatives have given us since that time. Tell me any progress that the conservative movement stands for right now. Anything called progress. The Republican Party and the conservatives and the neocons all roll in group. Have found nothing, have done nothing but to the days of the Quakers. Back to the days of the barons. Back to the days of the robber barons. That's where they're taking us. Path. It's incomparable to me that anybody could use the word progress and can same sentence. That's too good. And he goes on to say, and I'm about going to bore you with it much more, but he said it's about believing that the human spirit and individual responsibility are the keys to happiness, to prosperity, and to progress, not blind dependency on government. Yeah, tell it to the guy whose wife and kids are standing out in front of the house that they had yesterday with the furniture sitting out in front of it after he's lost his job and been evicted and doesn't know where to turn. Yes, individual responsibility, and pull yourself up by those bootstraps. By God, you don't need any help for anybody. And by the way, Lewis, I would ask you, if you are old enough, or when you get old enough, I'm sure you won't want to take advantage of Social Security, will you? Hell no. Tear up that check or send it back in or send it to some government agency. I know that you, being of personal responsibility and don't want any government interference in your life, you'll be happy to send a check back, won't you? Being a conservative, oh, what a poor time to say. After they shredded it, took the Fourth Amendment and plucked it right out of there, and backed this, destroyed the Constitution in every way he can, and given himself. You mentioned to me about preserving the Constitution of the United States? Massive roadblock for progress. Once again, he progress? Says, being a conservative is about believable and nothing unattainable. Well, there's a P.S. to this. As you know, as all of you know, if you listened to the program yesterday, I made a comment about Jesse Helms. I don't regret one thing I said about Jesse Helms. He was a hateful son of a bitch. He was a homophobe. He was a racist of the highest order, and he never apologized for one bit of it. That's what I said. I didn't like Helms when he's alive, and I'm not going to be two-faced and say I liked him after he was dead. They say God rest his soul. I don't believe him, but then I'm not God. I will not make that judgment. But he writes, allow me to respond with an equally atrocious joke. Well, first of all, Lewis, I wasn't joking. I meant every word I said about Jesse Helms, and let me tell you, I refrain from saying a lot more that I'd like to say about Jesse Helms and his kind. But he writes, allow me to respond with an equally atrocious joke. Liberalism causes brain damage. Just look at Ted Kennedy. Well, Lewis, I think that's about as despicable as it gets. And as whenever I mention Ted Kennedy on this program, I always say, warts and all, personal frailties and all, which I recognize Ted Kennedy has, you will not ever find a racist bone in his body. You will not find a homophobic bone in his body. And you will not find any senator of the United States in the history of the United States that's done more for the working men, sick, and the elderly in this country than Ted Kennedy. And you can take that, if truth be told, everyone knows that that is true. That is all I have to say about Lewis. His letter was so much horseshit that I read it several times to decide whether or not it was actually not some kind of a ruse. And then I realized that it was not. I would say if this man really was a liberal at one time, that Limbaugh must have got a hold of him. Because nobody in their right mind could say he was a liberal and then spout the crap that was in this letter. You're either a fool or you're insane, one or the other. Hit for you in both counts. Well, I have rattled on quite enough. And speaking of fools, Michelle Bachmann, congresswoman from Minnesota, known for grabbing Bush as she gets around him and hanging all over him and getting all the pictures she can for Bush, I think she and Lewis would get along right well, don't you think?
So the American people can get back to paying $2 a gallon. Very possible.
You really think that's possible? You think that's likely?
Oh, sure. Oh, possible. We are the Saudi Arabia of oil, the Saudi Arabia of natural gas, of coal, of wind, of solar, of all of the above. That's the great news. Our problem is not a famine of energy. It's a lack of will right now in the Democrat control Congress.
Every vet respects John McCain's war record. It's his record in the Senate that I have a problem with. He wants us to keep spending $10 billion a month in Iraq, just like Bush. That's money we could use to build schools and roads and create needed jobs here at home. He even took sides with Bush against increasing health care benefits for veterans. People should let John McCain know. His agenda is not what we need, not now.
Are you a conservative Republican who believes George W. Bush did the right thing by invading Iraq? Are you in agreement with Mr. Bush when he says, stay the course no matter how long it takes? Do you agree with the President when he says that he will never set any time schedule to pull out our troops? Well, if you agree with all that, then you'll certainly want to help Bush by signing up your kids or grandkids for military service today. Yes, just call your Marine recruiter and tell them the age and social security number of your little juicy and make an appointment for a free visit by your local military recruiter. We know that by you are a super patriot, and you'll want to be the first on your block to offer up kids for Mr. Bush's war. Don't worry if you think they're too young. Even if they're only 10 or 11, it'll certainly last long enough for them to get involved. And for the first 15 callers, we're president uttering those famous fighting words, bring them on. Yes, this CD will have special meaning to you, especially if your kid is wounded or killed in Iraq. So call now and get your child or grandchild registered today. Just call 1-800-TAKE-MY-KID. That's 1-800-TAKE-MY-KID.
Over an open field. to the sleeping. Counting the cultures, you turn back, they've all come to America.
Hey, we're back with the guide this afternoon. As I mentioned, another cloudy, rainy afternoon. Part of it, the ground will drink up all that wonderful water, and we'll have enough while longer here. Sorry to bore you for so long about that, but, you know, I get so many of those. And they send these big, long diatribes, and I don't have time to sit down and write back and counter every charge they make. So I thought I would just grab a whole bunch of them. And that letter and what I said in there not only goes for Lewis, it goes for many, many, many people of his ilk who come up with the same things over and over and over again. And I'm tired of it. So I thought I'd take a few minutes and address them all at once. It takes too long to sit down, and they goad you into that, you know. Yeah, well, what about this? And then you find yourself in a email battle with people, and I don't have the time for that. And plus the other thing is, I don't suffer fools easily. I really don't. Many of them try to sound high and mighty. Some of them have pretty good verbal skill. But then after you correspond with them for a little while, then you find out really they must be indie. I don't know. A couple more letters I wanted to get out of the way, well, as long as we're talking about hate mail today, me and my sort of thing here. I got it for you, and I'll just get those out of the way. I usually do this and call it a few minutes of Republican love to start out with. A guy says, I had to write, and he spelled right, R-I-G-H-T. I've listened to your horseshit show about a half dozen times, and you've done nothing but throw insults at President Bush. Well, I would interject here, and Carl, I say the nicest things I can about him. I keep asking if anybody can give me something positive that Junior's done for us, and I keep getting no answer. I wonder why that is. He goes on to say in this letter, you've called him every name in the book, and you are an un-American asshole who don't have a clue about nothing. An un-American asshole who don't have a clue about nothing. If President Bush was not leading our country right now, and believe me, this sentence here is a gem. You may want to take this down. If President Bush was not leading our country right now, we would be speaking Arabic. I think he means Arabic. And having the heads cut are people who wouldn't give up Jesus for Muhammad. J-M-E-D. He goes on, this would sacrifice my life for Jesus and for President Bush too. Because President Bush is keeping us safe from those crazy whose idea of progress is kill Americans for fun. Name was on the terrorist list? Well, you can depend on the fact, turn your name in myself. If it acts like a terrorist and sounds like it, so you belong on the list, you un-American asshole. I'll fill your name in tonight. Well, Carl, I do have some flying to do pretty soon, and I'm afraid I'm going to be outed as a terrorist now since you're going to do this, so maybe I'm going to drive. Is it okay for terrorists to drive? And if they are looking for me on the roads, I'm driving a blue 1971 Vega, if any of you see me on the road. My good car is a 53 Chevy pickup. There's another letter, short one here, and it refers to something I've already covered here, but I don't want to shortchange Tammy here. Guy James, what a disgraceful thing to do to disparage the name of our beloved Senator Jesse Helms. He was a great man, and all who knew him loved him. How can you disrespect the dead? Well, Tammy, like I said to Lewis, since I never respected him when he was alive in the first place, I'm not about to change my tune and say anything good about him now. I'm sure all of his racist, homophobic friends who voted for him and knew him and loved him have got all kinds of great things to say about him, and I never will. 866-546-5254. Hey, have you got a pen and pencil handy? Down just a couple of short notes. And the only reason I mention this is A lot of people saying there's manipulation going on in the oil. The president is saying that he can't do anything about it. You know, he bragged about his influence in the oil business when he was up for election. Here with the oil business, that would be Mr. Himself. When he was running for election, he was bragging about that. I did some checking. And during our last election cycle in 2006, stay with me on this. In August 21st of 2006, gas was $3.08 a gallon. That's August 21st of 2006. That's, 3 months before the election. $3.08 a gallon. August 28th of 2006, it went down to $3.01 a gallon. September 4th of 2006, it went down to $2.90 a gallon, then $2.79, then $2.67, then $2.54, and then $2.40. Late October, gas in the last election cycle got down to $2.41. It dropped 67 cents a gallon. And guess what? On election, the last time around, gas reached a low of that year of $2.39 a gallon. Now, is that a far-out coincidence that gas just happened all year long right up till election day? It was over. It started right back up again. Is that a coincidence? That was the election cycle. Was that a coincidence? Gosh, I think it's really very odd that election just reached a low in 2006. Very. And a lot of it had to do with Goldman Sachs. They dumped more than $6 billion in gasoline future contracts then. You think the gas market can't be manipulated? Bush was supported wholeheartedly by the oil industry, and they've reaped $250 billion in profits. I wonder. I really do wonder. There's a lot to that story about how the prices were lowered and lowered and lowered. ...1999 when he was the CEO of Halliburton. And a little bit of it says, I'm often asked why I left politics and went to Halliburton, and I explained that I was mean-spirited, short-tempered, and intolerant of those who disagreed with me, and they said, hell, you'd make a great Texas and join the private sector. But I don't think Cheney ever took his eye off the ball there. He said, frankly, the focus of in today's economy, emerging markets, is old news to the oil industry. Ours are globalies investing outside the industrialized companies at the turn of last century. That the energy industry often represents the largest foreign investment in many parts of the world, and its interests, insights, and experience need to be considered. Oil is the only large industry whose leverage has not been all that effective in the political arena. And then Dick got himself chosen as Vice President of the United States, where he has helped the oil companies and energy companies more than probably any of us know. And I challenge everybody once again, why not make it public knowledge? Why not who was at the energy meetings? We are told by insiders that amongst the things discussed at the energy meetings, in which we know at least somebody from Enron was there, and we don't know how many other people, that there's been, that they talked about MAC and pipelines and such. God, on what a day it is on the market, as long as I'm talking about money. 2.7, the market went up today, the Dow up 2.67, and oil went down. It's a barrel, I bet you. Gas will be down, what, penny tomorrow? I don't know. Wall Street surges on oil and banks. Oil's going down days. Well, surely it will keep on going down. Dropping and dropping and dropping. Will we see another thing like I just mentioned? Will we see the gasoline go lower and lower and lower up till election time once again? I don't think they'd be able to pull off that ruse once again, but then who knows? They do know what they're dealing with. They're dealing with a lot of people like Lewis that we talked about, and Tammy and Carl that wrote the letters today. They're dealing with a lot of people like that. It is hard to believe that there are 51 million people like that in the country who cast their ballots last time around, but let's face it, there are 51 million of them. So they do know what they're dealing with, and they do know that by dropping gas 25, 50 cents or whatever they could stand, that they'd probably convince those folks who aren't all that well endowed. They might convince those folks that just maybe this is a good thing for them to continue on with. After all, they'd be dropping that gas price once again, huh? Well, you're listening to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network, Billy Shear's music director. We're going to pause for news at top of the hour, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes, so don't go away.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. GM, America's fourth largest company in annual sales, said Tuesday that it's making more deep cuts to survive a harsh economy. GM jobs have gone from 107,000 hourly jobs in 2004 to 74,000 today. Buyouts and early retirement incentives will slash even more of those as some new workers are added at half the pay. The new cuts include selling off $4 to $7 billion in assets, slashing salaried jobs and benefits, and suspending the GM stock dividend. GM CEO Rick Wagoner called this an unprecedentedly difficult time. He said these cuts are necessary for GM's survival. An awful economy for U.S. workers, and now Working America's Karen Nez at 15 million workers have bad bosses on top of the bad economy.
The problem even worse. A third of U.S. workers, 50 million people, feel pressure to stay with a bad boss because of...
Working America is holding its annual Bad Bosses contest to raise like one of last year's winners.
A help desk worker in a plant to stay in a burning building to keep answering the help down around him.
Organized labor has its first... Jesse Russell reports.
New York-based United Federation of Teachers President Randy Edward McElroy, as president of the American Federation of Teachers, makes Weingarten the first openly gay labor leader to be president of a national labor union. Weingarten served for 10 years as UFT head, and under her tenure, she negotiated a 43% increase in educator salaries and helped organize 28,000 home child care workers in New York City.
Are you a Walmart worker who wants to collectively bargain? Then you might need to move to China. While the world's largest retailer has a record of ferociously busting unions in the U.S., the company this week signed a collective bargaining agreement with the Shenyang City Trade Union. Walmart began agreeing to union representation in China in 2004, as long as the unions were associated with the Communist Party-run All China Federation of Trade Unions. The agreement provides an annual 8% pay increase, paid vacation, and overtime pay. The Chinese union said the agreement reflects Walmart's commitment to social responsibility.
Here is today's economic report. On a day of turbulent stock market news due to the housing crisis, a new study was released by Foreware. Houston is number one on the magazine's list of best cities to live in. Median home sales in the Texas city have increased by 6.6% since 2005. Is Austin, with San Antonio in fifth and Dallas in fourth. Philadelphia and St. Louis are the only two non-Texas cities to fill out the top six spots.
Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Clean up your room. The Board of Health is going to
The Board of Health doesn't even know about your room. What's more, they...
Keep making that face. It's going to freeze that way.
Not unless you're someplace really, really cold. Actually, a lot of the warnings moms hand out are a bit exaggerated.
If you don't get your blood pressure checked, you could have high blood pressure, not even know it, and you could die from a stroke.
But she's right about that one. Fact is, high blood pressure contributes to 200 a year, and a third of those who have high blood pressure don't know it. It'd be simple to treat. Call the American Heart Association at 1-800-1 or visit AmericanHeart.org on the web to learn better still. Ask your doctor to check your blood pressure.
If you run with those...
...do.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. I have a dream.
This is the Guy Gage Show.
Guy Gage Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy Gage.
Welcome back, everybody. Hope you enjoyed the news and all the frivolity that they talked about there today. There is good news at the stock market, and so all of you get your portfolios out and check and see how well you did today. And once again, oil is down. I didn't look. Let me quickly check here and see where gold is today. I don't know. For some reason, I just got to, don't own a single solitary ounce of gold. Oh, gold, gold. Oh, went down $16 too. Okay. 866-546-5250. Welcome Susan to the show. Susan, welcome to the program. Glad to have you with us this afternoon.
I'm afraid I'm like you, Dan.
That's exactly what I'm looking at. Yeah.
And just a couple real fast points. Your dear darling emailer has never been a liberal. He's got freeper written all over him.
Think you might be right. It might be a freeper. Yeah.
And I did manage to think of something good to say about George Bush.
You know, I've always said one good thing about him. What is your comment good about him?
Until he's gone.
Bless him, isn't it?
No.
You know, that's no matter who it is, it's refreshing. I've always said, when asked if there's anything good about him, I've always said, I think he dresses quite nicely. Of course, if you're wearing $5 suits, is what I'm told, you can dress fairly well. But
oh, anybody look bad that way?
Yeah. Yeah, okay, yeah, that's a good comment. He'll be gone. And I've got one of those calendars in my other office. It's a countdown calendar. And good Lord, what a day that's going to be. I'm not a drinker. Health conditions and all, I'm not really supposed to have any alcohol. But I'm really thinking that on January 20th of 2009, I might imbibe. I might get off the wagon or on the wagon or however it is supposed to be. I remember that Seinfeld episode when they're talking about whether it's on the wagon or off the wagon. But I think it'd be a good day for drinking. I might.
I've got a special bottle of sparkling cider.
Oh, cool.
Just for that.
Anybody know what day? What day is? What day of the week is the 20th of January? Anybody know?
Not offhand. I don't have a calendar.
Yeah, I don't have one right in front of me either.
I do know that there's going to be dancing in the streets.
Oh, absolutely. And let's face it, and I'm going to talk about that in a little bit, the national trends look. We are going to be looking at General Hand that day and take the oath. And no matter how you feel about Barack Obama, it'll be a much better situation than we have now. I think we all know that. But just walk out on the corner and stand there and wave it. So thank you, Mathal. On the chat room. A long weekend of it. Maybe we can take, you know, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, and maybe even have it spill over into Wednesday. We'll have to organize a head-on radio network party for that day.
Sounds like a great idea.
Yeah. You know, the last time I was on a cruise, I voted early and went on a cruise. And I'll never forget, there were several bunches, a whole group of us went together, and my best friend and I sat down there and heard the news in the big dining room, and just sit there crying in each other's coffee in the morning. It was a horrible, horrible morning, a horrible day. Suffering, I tell you, suffering. I couldn't believe. You know, one time it happened and they stole the presidency. Well, I still believe they did. One time, okay, freak thing happened. Couldn't believe that people would reelect that man. And you know, Susan, friends that will admit it, that say, geez, I'm really sorry for that I voted for him.
The only person I've ever known who was willing to voting Republican was my father in the latter years. And he and I had fights of one side and down, and he voted for Reagan.
Mm.
And I told him, God help this country. Yep, you're right.
Yeah. Yeah, Reagan. Mm. Speaking of Reagan, can I read you something real quick? I might have done this before on the program. I got a piece out of Ronald Reagan's diary that was dated May 17th, 1986. And this was from Ronald Reagan's personal diary. And I'll quote this. Quoting Ronald Reagan. A moment I've been dreading. George brought, and he's talking about Bush the First, George brought his ne'er-do-well son around this morning and asked me to find the kid a job. Not the political one who lives in Florida. The one who hangs around here all the time looking shiftless. This so-called kid is already almost 40 and has never had a real job. Maybe I'll call Kinsley over at the New Republic and see if they'll hire him as contributing editor or something. That looks like easy work. That's from Ronald Reagan's personal diary about the gentleman who now calls himself the President of the United States. I'd be mortified. Reagan thinks thought of our esteemed leader.
Yeah. And what Ronald Reagan thought of much.
Yeah. Okay. I'm told that note is a hoax. I'm told it is, and I'll take that for granted because it is, and somebody that's never wrong. And so I've been had this. It certainly sounds like something Reagan could have or should have said, but if he didn't, I stand corrected. We always correct our mistakes on this show.
Yeah, the opinion Reagan and Nancy had of McCain over his breakup with his wife, Carol.
Oh, yes.
Left her for Cindy is verifiable proof they were not happy.
Not a pretty story. She ended up staying with the Meese family for a while, and then Nancy took her on as gave her a job at the White House, and Carol McCain worked at the White House for quite a long time, I think, after that.
Yeah, the last I heard, getting a marriage license when you're still legally married to another woman is really tacky.
Yeah, I agree. It certainly is. Oh, man, yeah. Thanks for calling today. Good to hear from you.
Thank you, guy. You have a...
Oh, my. Already mentioned why are we getting lots of calls? I already mentioned that the... Congress shoved it back in Bush's God that they did. I'm really... really pleased that they did away. Comments to make about John McCain today, and we'll get at that in just a little bit. I see this mess with that Payne guy. He had to quit the Homeland Security group that he was with. He had to quit. Gee, I wonder why he had to quit. Wonder why they forced him out. Must be a lot to that story. Maybe they're just trying to cover it up. Let's go back to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Shoved it back in Bush's face.
Hello.
Hello?
Yes. You're on.
Oh. Okay, this is Juanita.
Hi, Juanita.
That thing that they said was a hoax about Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
Well, Ronald Reagan Jr., I've heard him say things like that. He despises him.
Yeah, well, I know he wasn't all that popular with him, but I guess maybe somebody took some liberties with that. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I've heard that before of his book.
But I've been corrected by the head on radio network.
Yeah, you're right, but I do know that I've heard him several times.
Well, my point is probably the greatest, if you want any information at all, is the head on radio network chat room. I should always check with them first before I say anything.
Did you know that our Congress in Florida has voted for us to get the breast energy to get the nuclear power plant?
No, I didn't see that today. Was it just today?
Just today. I heard a little on the news about it.
Hard to keep up with those rascallions up in Tallahassee.
Yeah, I just happened to see a little bit of the news, and local news. And also saw Charlie Crist. He's over in Europe, I think in Paris. But he was explaining about drilling off the coast on, you know, Florida, that everything would be very careful not to mess everything up, you know.
Right.
But anyhow, but I hate about that about the nuclear thing.
Well, it's going to be all out now. It's going to be let's do anything and everything, and they're going to shove it in the environmentalists' faces for a while, and Greenpeace and all those organizations.
Yeah, I mean, what is the point? And this is a company that's supposed to be using alternative energy too, you know. I don't understand it.
I did see where our power company here. Do you have FPL where you live?
I have Campfield Lake.
FPL, they're going to go to some alternative energy here, and it's for sure. Red Yard. But I just can't read anymore. I don't know why. Do you have that problem?
Well, I'll tell you, there's so much.
That's isn't that a fact?
A bunch of stuff, and I just said that, you know.
Yes.
You just can't keep up with all of to the political part at all.
Yeah.
I get upset.
I know. I do as well.
I hope that's good news you were telling about, but God bless Kucinich.
Yes. Yes. If that makes it on TV, those hearings make it on TV, that'll be as good a contribution as a congressman could possibly make.
It sure will, and I'm going to be doggone sure I'm going to see those.
I'm very proud of Dennis Kucinich. I know Dennis Kucinich, and he's a great guy. He has his little eccentricities, but he's a terrific guy. Speaking of eccentricities, you mentioned our esteemed governor here, Charlie Crist in Florida, and maybe others around the country don't know it. I assume most of them do, and I know you've heard that Charlie's getting married.
Yeah, he's engaged.
Yeah, and I found that to be a bit unusual that some of the national news people on cable went on their face.
Uh-huh.
And I think you know why. Because, as you know, how far back, well, you go back quite a way, Juanita, listening. But we had one of his programs.
I remember that.
Yeah, a gentleman from Tampa, his name.
Yeah, he was great.
He was running as an independent. We had him as a guest on, though he wanted to be on the show. And he said he wanted to be on the show because everybody that Charlie Crist was gay and that nobody knew that. Well, it turns out that half of Florida already knew it. And he came on the show and said, well, sure. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but Charlie's gay and he ought to tell everybody. And now we see that Charlie's getting married to a woman.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just saying.
That's all I heard. I saw our picture and everything.
Yeah, I mean, I just hope, and I wish him well. I hope he's not being disingenuous with us. If he's gay, I'll say he's gay and let everybody know. I'm straight. I let everybody know that, and Charlie should, you know, the other way around. So he's all.
Look what happens to the ones who don't.
Well, yeah.
Who admit what they are.
Exactly right. What was the Congressman Foley over there?
Yeah.
If he'd come out and said, I mean, we got like Barney Frank in the Democratic side. Barney went for years. Finally said, "Hey, I'm gay." Is anybody saying no? We don't care. So just be honest. Yeah. Kind of fools.
But you know.
Yeah. Well, Juanita, thanks for calling. Good to hear from you.
Oh, you're welcome, and you have a good day.
Thank you. Bye bye. You know, when it comes down to it, as this presidential campaign unfolds, there are some truths that I think are being neglected by Obama and McCain. And the corporate media, is, and probably the entire political class. And there are probably three truths that, that I can detect so far that are being affected. One is America, the infrastructure, and evidently the intellectual have to maintain a corporate empire through military and economic power. We're not going to be able to maintain that. We don't have the leverage, or we soon will not have the leverage, particularly the financial leverage, to just take over whatever we want to do in this world. And the second truth that I think everybody is totally abrogating is unless there's an accountability for this Bush administration's war crimes that they've committed since the 9/11, America's in grave danger, and I don't think a lot of people understand that. There has got to be, the Republicans are always talking about personal accountability. Let's have some accountability for the crimes committed by the Bush administration. This is no Scooter Libby deal right here. This is the lives of over 4,100 Americans. This is the lives of tens, perhaps hundreds of Rockies. There has got to be accountability. And so far, no one has taken this disaster that's turned out to be the what should be named the Bush occupation of Iraq. That should be the official name of it. They conned the Congress, the House, and the Senate. They conned the UN. Most of Europe didn't believe them, and most of Europe was absolutely right. They insulted the English. They insulted particularly the French, as usual, along with this ill-gotten adventure of Junior Bush's. There have been war crimes, and they have been sanctioned by the very highest office in the land. So that is one of the political truths that's being totally ignored, that there has got to be some accountability by this Bush administration. And probably the third truth that I believe is being forgotten is that, and people better wake up to this fact, all you anti-union people, our society doesn't have sufficient institutions anymore to safeguard the livelihoods of the people that go out and earn a wage in this new economy. Unions are about gone. And the media just has fallen down on the job so much. I don't know how many of you read that Frank Rich column in Sunday's New York Times article. Frank Rich is just the best. But the silence by the media is amazing. I mean, this Bush administration's regime has actually helped Al-Qaeda. It's helped. You know, that's why it's always laughable when they say, well, there haven't been any. Bush has made us safer. Made us safer, my patoot. We don't have enough guys like Frank Rich printing the... I guess, what else can we expect from this establishment? Frank Rich is just pissing into that. And really, in this post-Cold War world that we're living in right now, other countries don't have to automatically suck up to the United States anymore. We've managed to alienate most of the civilized world, and we've managed to help our enemies build themselves up. And our financial and our banking system right now has become some sort of a brutal game with referees that aren't impartial. And McCain and Obama are debating whether to target tax cuts for the rich or the middle class. We really need an entirely new socioeconomic model. I mean, you watch McCain go out and speak, and does he really believe that a balanced budget and this jihad of his against the elixir for the mess that we're in, does he really believe that? I don't know. I'm not at all happy with the way things are going on. Barack Obama can come along and can make things well again. 866-546-5254. And well, Bushy Boy himself today asserted executive privilege once again to protect the information that the House panel has subpoenaed on the leak of the CIA operative, Valerie Plame. A House committee chairman, meanwhile, held off on a contempt citation of Attorney General Michael Mukasey. This is a guy that not so long ago, whose appointment was confirmed by Democrats even. And so here he is back already. Trying to get executive privilege. And so Henry Waxman, as a courtesy to the lawmakers that weren't present today, Henry, who's the chairman of the House Oversight Committee, he rejected Mukasey's suggestion that Vice President Dick Cheney's FBI interview on the subject should be protected by the privilege claim. And, you know, he said, well, if the Vice President did nothing to hide, will they... Yeah, right. We'll see. Much ado about nothing once again, I suspect. Let's head on over to the phone.
Hey, guys, it's Kevin.
Hi, Kevin.
First of all, the idiot Lewis and the other one with Jesse Helms. This is a result of generations and generations of incest relationships and inbreeding. I've come down to that rationale.
Oh, yeah.
Keep in mind, it is tolerated in that part of the country.
Yeah, it is. It is.
No sane person can think the way these people are thinking. Or someone who has all their faculties.
Yeah. Well, it seems that way to me. You know, I read things from them. it's fascinating. It really is. I read stuff like that from people, and I'm just shake my head. There's really no use in trying to argue with them because... they will not listen. They just won't listen. Obviously, if he claims he was a liberal at one time, and, you know, I do doubt that. Obviously, listen to somebody, most likely a Limbaugh or a Hannity or somebody like that. So I wouldn't say they're not capable of listening, but they just won't. They won't listen to reason. I've given up on personally trying to argue with them. I just try and have a little fun with them now and then, but... impossible to get through.
I keep on thinking of scenes. If you ever watched All in the Family, when Archie and Lionel used to go at it, Meathead and Lionel.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I remember Lionel.
I keep on thinking of it. It's over.
Lionel was so good at that coming in. Well, boss, what do you think? he had really going. Archie didn't even know that Lionel was making. Didn't even realize it.
Yeah.
Man, that was.
Or one of my scene in Blazing Saddles when they're working on the same day. And, you know, this is what I'm down to do.
Yeah. you know, that was just on TV a week or so ago, and I got to see, like, yeah, that portion where the black sheriff and all, man, that was good. That is good stuff.
Oh, yes. And this is what that's the only way I can make peace with myself now. My sanity.
It's come to that.
Yeah.
At long last, it's come to that.
Oh, yeah. Because when I swear to you, when I hear stuff like that, like that letter that you read, I feel like taking a sledgehammer to my laptop.
Oh, yeah.
And I
know.
Can't afford to get it anymore.
And just think of how much that there is. And, you know, like I mentioned, there are 51 million people that voted, pulled the lever, and I got to think at least half of them think like that. So, I don't know. It's, on the one hand, it's very discouraging, and on the other hand, it's pretty funny. There on the laughs are over, you sit down and go, my God, they were serious.
It's like, early today, I hear, and, you know, and I can understand, you know, the whole concept of feathering.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name? Joe Scarborough. Papa Joe in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's over there grinding on Fannie Mae and Freddie Nationalist thing and how government interfered, and that's why it failed. It's when government got their hands out of there is when it started to fail. And it
exactly. Exactly.
Because it was under a quasi-government agency. It ran like a Swiss watch.
Yep. But there was money to be made, and there were the vultures waiting on the side of the road.
Oh, yeah.
There always are. You can count on. And you know, just imagine, if you will, and I've meant to bring this up, we've all seen where the market has gone this past month. Imagine if we'd allowed them to privatize Social Security.
Oh, God.
God. Where would we be when a crash comes? If a crash comes, and it kind of seems like it's coming now, but you have to look at the market right now and say, Mr. Bush, if we'd have done your privatization scheme, and the privatization scheme, I might add, that John McCain wants to pull off, where would the Social Security be right now?
Hmm. You know, it's like, well, one thing you should say, you did want to place it,
yeah,
George W. the worst possible. You know, I don't think American people could get any than this, but we'll see come November.
I hope. And I probably should talk about that a little bit coming up here. But things do look for, I've got some pretty good estimates and polls, and so probably talk about them today. But I think things are looking up. Really good.
The things, like, I would say, because the thing about on the right-wing welfare would be think tanks. They're always going to be a pest on the beltway. That's where the money comes from. And that's where the ideology comes from.
Sure.
Okay. But one thing I pray and hope Barack Obama does when he becomes, I'm trying to think positive, is cross the board, make it, and use an executive order in all the public and private schools that civics class has to be redone.
Oh, yes. Yes, that would be so helpful.
Okay.
So helpful.
What it is to be an American citizen, what are the rights, what are the whatever.
Yeah, because, you know, oftentimes immigrants nowadays swear the oath, often that have to take the test, often a lot more about it than naturalized American-born people do.
Or just apolitical, non-political, and they're all like, you know, but yet they're complaining about it.
Yeah.
And the one thing I agree with Nixon, you know, everything is political.
Yeah, it is. Comes right down to it. You betcha it is.
Everything is political, and this is, and we need to, okay, have mandatory civics and mandatory economics, because you know how corporations are run, how stock, and how people, regular everyday working people, can have some kind of empowerment in corporate America.
Indeed. Indeed.
You know, when a stock is issued, that's your voting share. Where most people, they take the prospectus and vote away. And I know, yes, there are people in clunks and all that who owns controlling shares and all that stuff, and they pitch shares against one another. But still, you know, there's power in numbers.
We had, what was it, a couple of weeks ago? I got Michael Waldman is the gentleman's name that wrote a return to common sense and seven bold ways to revitalize it. He had mentioned exactly what you said. That was a big thing with him, civics class. That was a big thing in high school and in college. You had to stay up on it. And I couldn't agree more. I saw him on CNN the other night. He's been making the round. Guest, by the way. And do take a look at that book. Kevin... I'm going to take a break here, and while I take the break on the phone, I will get your address, and I will send you this book.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, and let's do that right now. Kevin's a good listener, and let me see here. I get to call the technology up here for a minute, and I will just hang on for 1 minute, Kevin, and I'll be right back with you. Let's take a break right now, and we'll be right back.
Had a dream, the sun to see, to help me cope with anything. If you see the wonder of a fairy tale, the future beneath your face, I believe something good in me. I believe in angels. When I know the time is right across the street,
Hey, back with you here on the Guy James Show this afternoon. So glad to have all of you along with us this afternoon. I lost Kevin on the phone there during that break, but he called back, and we're going to be shipping that book off to him forthwith. Michael Waldman's A Return to Common Sense. A great book. And joy. And thanks for listening, and thanks for being there. Thanks to all of you for being there. I do so enjoy your calls, and I do enjoy your emails. I'd love to have your input and hear what you have to say. After all, that I'm speaking to, you are the folks that, we get together and we share our ideas, and to bounce ideas and so forth. And I appreciate you being there. I really do. You may enjoy listening to the program. I hope you do. I hope that's why you're here. And I very much enjoy having you there, knowing that you've been supportive of the program and that you're there and a loyal listener. That means a lot, and I want you to know that. And I also want you to know that I am absolutely 100% convinced that our audience is here on the Head On Radio Network is the best informed audience of any network in the country, any network whatsoever. We have the most well-informed listeners here. I can tell that by the calls. I can tell that by the correspondence back and forth. We've got some real brains. We've got some real practical people. We've got some people that are funny. We've got all sides of it. And the Head On Radio Network, the chat room, if some of you are listening on iTunes or other places, which I know you are, join us over to the Head On Radio Network chat room. You got to just sign in for a minute. They don't ask you for any real personal information of any kind, and there's no solicit or anything like that. Just sign up, get yourself a pen there. I'm looking there right now. We've got Bob Kincaid. Of course, Bob is the what shall I call him? I don't want to give him. Bob's just a regular guy, so I'll call him the chief cook and Bob at the Head On Radio Network. I, on the other hand, am just a dishwasher, you know. Right now, the Cobwebs, ELO, Jersey, 314, Liberal Me, Matho, Ralphs, Rama, Suzanne. Who goes around calling themselves Trouble? Well, Trouble does. So, anyway, thanks to all you folks for joining us here on the Head On Radio Network. I really do appreciate hearing from you. Your calls and your email and your support. It means everything to all of us, to Peter, to Bob, to Mark, myself. We're just so glad you're there with us, and you'll never know how much we appreciate. 866-546-5254. Have you seen that old speech of Jimmy Carter's replayed lately? You remember when Jimmy Carter was sitting there with the fire behind him and sitting in the sweater and having the fireside chat with all of us about energy back in the 70s? And that speech looks pretty damn good right now. If you go back and look at that whole speech, that speech now looks brilliant. Say what you will about he was absolutely the money, on the money, about energy crisis that would be coming. And here we are. And he came up with all sorts of ideas and initiatives and subsidies of energy. And the next year, after he got out of office, the Republicans, they scammed the American people, who evidently are always more than willing to be, into thinking that their biggest problem was a lack of national pride, and to hell with all the initiatives about the alternative energy. Just threw that by the side of the road. Turns out that Ronnie Reagan was say, hey, forget all that energy crap, we don't care. So, didn't work out so well now, did it? Well, I was going to talk about McCain's plan to continue giving giveaways to big oil. I don't know. Don't know if I even want to get started in on that today. It's rather disconcerting when you read what McCain wants to do for big oil. We'll talk a lot tomorrow about John McCain. I'll probably mention him a time or two yet today, but let's do look at the politics of the thing right now. Let's take so far so good. The Journal sent over some some stats for us to take a look at, and they look good. And I know a lot of people are upset with Barack Obama. I hope he can make things right and smooth it all over. I don't know. We shall see. But I'm voting for Barack Obama. And a lot of shift hasn't worked. Well, let's take a look at the latest stats. By 8 points, electoralvote.com by 8 points. That's a potential swing blue state. He's up by double digits in Iowa. That's a purple state. He's up in Montana, which is a true red state. He's up in Virginia by a nose, which is a purple state. He's about tied in Missouri. That's even. That's another purple state. He's up in purple Indiana and purple Ohio and blue Pennsylvania by a nose. He's up in Colorado. He's up in New Mexico. He's tied in North Dakota. He's only four down in South Dakota, which is redder than red. And he's only down six in South Carolina, which is redder than red. And here's the kicker. If the election were held today, Obama would beat McCain in the Electoral College 320 to 204 with 14 ties. 320 to 204. And I think that's pretty big. I think that's huge. He would win 320 to 204. And looking around at some of the states here, by the way, you can find us at electoral-vote.com. They've got a great map there and got it all figured out for you. But Missouri, or Missouri, depending on which half of the state you live in, it's pretty neutral. They don't know what they know. That's the only, well, that and North Dakota on the map are the only two that they figured dead even. They don't know which way they're going to go. The rest of the states are all shaded one way or another. Of course, you've got California and Minnesota and Iowa and Wisconsin and Illinois and New York and Maine and Vermont, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut, New Jersey, Delaware, Maryland, and Washington, D.C., all in the blue column. And in the red column, the usual suspects, we got Idaho, and the reddest of them all, Utah, right now is in the red column, Wyoming, Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma, Alabama, Tennessee, and Kentucky, the red states. That are leaning red are Nevada, and Alaska. The only lean, I forgot to include Hawaii in the blue states. And leaning Washington, Montana, New Mexico, Michigan. They're and then barely blue, Colorado, Oregon, Indiana, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Virginia. Anyway, it looks damn good. And they're also predicting 55 in the Senate. That's we're not going to get to where we wanted to be in the Senate, I don't think. 55, 56, I can't see any more than 56 in the Senate. I really can't. I wish I could predict more than that, but I just can't, looking at the Senate races. So, all in all, in the political situation here, right now, if the election were to be held today, we would be swearing in President Barack Obama on January 20th, 2009. And hopefully these maps will continue to look this way. And again, take a look at that website. It's a good one. Electoral-vote. Those of you who are real political aficionados like really enjoy that site. Where did we also? We had a couple other polls here I want to look at, but I don't need to right now. No. First of all, we're going to have our good friend a lot to say about things that taking place up in the Millwood and some political things that you'll enjoy. I know you will. That web the money. Tomorrow, so we'll look forward to that. And I was going to talk about horizontal. I'm in a position of not having enough time to talk about some of the things that I wanted to speak to today, but that'll be all right, I guess. This continuing mess with this Payne fellow for McCain. For the Bush administration, it's gonna spell trouble. for the Republicans. A GOP lobbyist and fundraiser with close ties to the White House has quit a Homeland Security Department advisory committee following allegations of influence peddling and quid pro quo donations to the Bush Presidential Library. Department spokeswoman Laura Kaner confirmed to United Press International that Stephen Payne was asinine after being surreptitiously by a Bush newspaper, apparently by a British newspaper, apparently offering Trace officials in return for a six-figure fee and $1 million donation to the Bush Library. The department asked him, and this news comes as questions are beginning to emerge about whether Payne properly disclosed his work foreign entities as required by federal law. Do they ever quit? God, you wonder why America seems to hate Washington D.C. a lot of times, and in some ways it's such a wonderful town, and in some ways it is a cesspool, and that's one of the cesspool reasons right there, sorry to say. How many of you read Hullabaloo and Digby? I try to never miss Digby. This on her site today. Says that McCain is quite the jokester. The blog Rum, Romanism, and Rebellion pulls out a 1986 Tucson Citizens article recounting a joke about rape told by Senator John McCain speaking to the National League of Cities and Towns in Washington, D.C. McCain allegedly said, "Did you hear, this is the man running for president of the United States right now. Did you hear the one about the woman who's attacked on the street by a gorilla, beaten senseless, raped repeatedly, and left to die? When she finally regains consciousness and tries to speak, her doctor leans over to hear her sigh contently and to feebly ask, 'Where is that marvelous ape?'" McCain was swiftly spokesman for NOW in Arizona, said the organization's members were incensed by his cruel and sexist remark. McCain said he did not recall, telling never recalls a lot of these things. Is that really even a joke? Under Clayton Williams, maybe he just thinks that rapists should enjoy. McCain didn't exactly learn his lesson from that really crude and stupid Chelsea Clinton and Janet Reeves this year. He brought out big laughs with another sexist gem. Candidate John McCain took one look at a nursing school and asked if the dummy's name was Hillary. Campaigning at the University of South Carolina Upstate Nursing School, McCain couldn't resist a swipe at Democratic front-runner Hillary Rodham Clinton back in during this campaign. "I was very glad to meet the dummy named Hillary," McCain said to laughter after a tour of the school. "Is that the name?" It wasn't. The dummy or human simulator doesn't have a name. "I know this kind of joking is fairly typical of frat houses and locker rooms and other all-male enclaves, but you'd think that a professional politician would understand that it's unacceptable to make these sorts of jokes in public. Even in 1986, that gorilla joke, even if it were funny, would have been out of line. But McCain has always been handled with kid gloves by the press, and so even when he calls his wife a cunt in front of reporters, they don't write about it. And I suspect that these sexist bon mots are..." The boys on the Straight Talk Express have admittedly withheld from... It's all in good fun, right? Except a politician says stuff like this in public in the first place. He's a 71-year-old man who can't see things that come out of his mouth half the time. And when he said this in 1989, "I suppose he's been coddled by the machismo for so many years that he honestly doesn't think he has to. And maybe he thinks it better keep their trap shut about civility and decency because their standard bearer is a disgusting pig." That from Digby over at Hullabaloo. As always, words of wisdom. One of the best, Digby is, no question about it. Well, here we are down toward the end of another program. I don't know where the time goes. We've got the Bush people or the McCain people talking about having a respectful campaign, and they've done everything they can so far not to have a respectful campaign. Before I started the show today, I was watching an article that I've already known about on TV, but there's a billboard in Florida, and I want to apologize to people from the other states. just simply because it's in the state I live in. There's a billboard put up by a bunch of Republicans up around Orlando that says, "Don't vote Democrat," burning on it. And it's one of the most disgusting plays of political hackery that I think I've ever so bored as I've seen. And if I lived up that way, I think I'd probably find a way to destroy that billboard. I sensed over it that somebody would do that. But we, once again, and it's no surprise, we've learned over and over that the Lee Atwater and the Karl Rove tactics will go on. They will go on this year, and they will intensify between now and November. I don't think there's any question about that. And this one of the worst displays of that I've seen. Again, it's a billboard that says, "Don't vote Democrat," and shows the Twin Towers burning. That is aimed right at the intellect of the average Republican voter, I guess. Because you would have to be, as in that old picture of the Freeber, a real moron, and a lot of you know what I mean by that, you'd have to be a real moron to take that at face value and go with it. Well, thanks for listening today. It's been a pleasure to be with you, as always. I do appreciate your listenership, and we'll have a lot more coming up tomorrow. And don't forget Mark coming up now, and Bob after that. And they will certainly have some pearls of wisdom for you today. I have no doubt of that. They'll don't know where are they?
Watching the scoop. All the news the government does not want you to know. Attorney Mark Levine.
Hello, America. Welcome to Scoop. When we have budget deficits, many politicians think they're no consequence. Americans, a lot of sweet tax cuts, or war if they want it, or social spending. Whatever it is, Americans don't feel the pain. You spend more, you cut taxes, there's a huge deficit, and it's just...